We live in Pasadena, California. It is Take Your Son or Daughter to Work Week. So for Nathan, that meant a little bit of a commute to come out here to Atlanta. And since he sat through the entire conference this week, I've asked him to join me for just a minute and appreciate your indulgence. The work that we're doing has to do with educating medical residents, primary care medical residents, in how to work with families about their concerns about vaccines. So part of the project was to determine what is being taught and what might be helpful to residents, what they feel might be helpful. So I'm going to let Nathan go ahead and do the first three slides, and he's probably better with the PowerPoint than I am, and then I will give you the details and information. So Nathan, you want to...
Okay, so I'm going to review over the main goals of the project and who it was funded by and just the main bits of the project. So the project overview is that it's a CDC-funded project, and was funded by the ARRA, and the project went from October 2009 to September 2011. It's not over yet. And the goal of the project is to develop and distribute vaccine safety communication curriculum for primary care medical residency programs nationwide. The objection one is to identify gaps in vaccine safety communication for medical residents. So, So the background of this project. So it's to find to find data and research involving it to present to you. So we want to find parents' vaccination concerns, practicing physicians' knowledge and attitudes regarding vaccinations. And so though there was a lot of research done on this, there are some data gaps. And these gaps are residents' knowledge and attitudes regarding vaccination, vaccination communication, and practicing clinicians' input regarding residency training in vaccination communication. So the methods we used were several. So we did an online survey with residents. We got 276, and you can go to the link here on SurveyMonkey to find the survey that we used. And then we had six focus groups with residents, and the focus groups were in California, Illinois, and Massachusetts. Then we did four pediatrics groups and two family medicine groups with 47 people total. And then finally, we did three focus groups with practicing pediatricians with 27 people. And that is a brief overview of the project.
Thank you, Nathan. Thank you so much for letting him have that experience. We did see when we started this project, and I've heard a lot of amazing presentations from some of the people here, that a lot of information has been gathered about what parents feel about vaccine safety and their concerns and some really excellent strategies to work with the parents. And also a lot of work, again, we'll be hearing some today, with physicians about what they feel are the concerns and the problems. The focus of this particular project was really how do we develop a curriculum for family medicine and pediatricians for the residents so that they can help support and do a really excellent job in helping families with their concerns. And I have no idea what button to push here. This is how technological I am. Just enter?
No.
This one? Oh, there's a mouse. Okay. You can see how much I use this high tech. I use flip charts usually in my presentations, and this is much bigger than a flip chart. So what did we learn and what surprised us? This is a tough chart to read from here, so let me just give you the highlights. The first thing we asked the residents is what do they perceive to be the concerns of families? What do they expect to hear as problems when they get in practice? And certainly the lead concern is still about autism. That's that green bar all the way across to the right. But the second concern, which I thought was interesting, is that a vaccine is too new or has not been appropriately tested. And that's because these residents, as you know, are learning their trade in the era of H1N1. And in fact, when we did the in-person focus groups, they really didn't want to talk about the autism concern at all. Their main concern is how do they convince families that the vaccines have been well tested and are are safe. A third concern that was up in the top ones, the blue bar, is that there are too many vaccines in one visit. So those were the three top concerns that residents expected to see. I have a couple of quotes that just support that. Again, in the in-person focus groups, I think it shows up even more than in the online. They just kept saying number one concern, H1N1, safety concerns. Then a few said biggest concern is autism. I put the third quote up here because I think it's important to recognize that our doctors in training who are going to work with adults may need even more support than those doctors who are going to work with children. This was a representative quote. The resident said, they say, I'm healthy, I'm strong as a horse, and if I take it, it will make me sick. I find that's a really hard argument to deal with, and there's something about immunization of adults that it's easier for me to let go than with kids, even though I know that influenza kills a lot more adults. So I think there may need to be a special push to help those doctors who are training to work with adults, because they really don't see it as their primary role to make sure the adults get the shots. And then I have too many shots at one time. This pie chart is, do residents perceive themselves to have learned about vaccine safety communication in their program? And what was interesting to me here is that the blue piece of the pie says about 20% don't think that they learned about it at all. And that was pretty shocking. They didn't feel they were trained in vaccine safety communication. Then you have about 46% that said that they learned somewhat, and I'll get into in a minute what that means, somewhat. And then you had a good 30% saying, yes, I've learned about this, I feel confident. So if you're trying to train future doctors how to deal with families' concerns about vaccine safety, you can see that the ones coming up out now, at least from these surveys and focus groups, really don't feel they're ready. Their comments were consistent, basically saying, in terms of vaccine-specific communication, I've gotten no training, no formal training. And I work with a patient population which shows so little resistance to vaccines that I haven't had to have the tough conversation. So while residents are practicing so many important things during their residency, by watching their preceptors and their faculty and getting an idea of how to do it, because many of the populations that they deal with in residency are the Medicaid populations, are populations that on average are more compliant for accepting the vaccines, they're not getting a good picture of how to practice this or what it will look like for them when they get out and practice. And again, many of them said, I've researched it on my own, but I've had no formal training. So we did feel that there is an opportunity here for those doctors that are coming out to be able to support all of your work better if we can help them do that. If yes or somewhat, so for those who said that they are learning about vaccine safety communication, how are they learning? And the biggest bar here is the role modeling by their preceptors. So not any formal training, but again, if they see a doctor that they're following around in training, working with a family that doesn't want to get the vaccines, that's the way they absorb it and learn it. They also do have lectures. You can see that about 60% said that they're learning from some type of lecture and then written messages, but very little alternative training. So online was down at 2-4%, role playing was down at 7%. So mostly they're learning in very traditional ways. So this is just an example. My teaching came when a parent would have a concern and a preceptor would elicit their concern. This is the good news. You know, residents are so overwhelmed in their training and they have so much that they're learning that you would think if you ask them, do you want to add something? Is there something that's important to you? What do you think? Well, would they like to learn more VSC in their program? Absolutely, 86% said yes. Okay, and then we've got a few that said, don't give me anything else. But they are enthusiastic about learning about how to do this. And then when we ask them what's the importance of learning about vaccine risk communication for your future practice or career, again, roughly 70% say very important, 30% somewhat important, and only a few don't think it's important. So they get that this is going to be important to them in the future. What's interesting, though, is if you ask them why will it be important and what's driving you to want to add this to your program, most of them say this is not a problem for me in the patients that I see. I'm not experiencing it as a problem in residency, but my friends and my family and my husband says we're not going to vaccinate our kids. So because they have this MD after their name, what's happening to them is in their communities and in their schools with their kids and their kids' parents, friends' parents, they're learning that they need to have answers for this. So I think as we start to train primary care residents about how to deal with vaccine questions, we may find that what motivates them better is rather than insisting that in their practices they're going to have to be able to answer this, supporting them in what they want. They want to be able to answer it now for their own family members and friends. Content is an incredibly busy slide, and it just says what area of content would you like to learn in the future, and these are doctors. They want to learn everything, so anything you put on the list, they sort of checked we'd like to learn this. But what was interesting to me is the two top bars, the one on the top, data on vaccine safety and efficacy in orange, the sort of pinkish salmon one, data on risk of side effects and adverse consequences, those were the two biggest things they want to learn. They still think that if they get enough science and enough data, that's how they'll, quote, win. They're still, if you ask them, what do you need to learn, they want numbers and data. But they did pick in the sort of red hot pink one, strategies for communicating. So they also understand we want data, but we want strategies. We want to know how to do this. A couple of important comments came out of the focus groups that I wanted to share. You know, this generation of residents has not seen the movement from acceptance of vaccines to questioning it. Their entire life has been in the period of time when people are questioning vaccines. And for many of them, once they learn the science in medical school and residency, they cannot for the life of them figure out why this has gotten this way. They don't understand where it's come from, and so it's mystifying them to try to figure out how to address it. They also are asking for ways to compromise. They don't want to just hear in residency, this is the recommended schedule, convince your families to take this. They're hearing from their friends and their parents and their partners that they want some give and take in how those vaccines are given, and they want to understand what their options are as providers. So when we ask them what teaching methods would you prefer, they prefer the ones that they're already getting because that's what they're already getting, I think. So 60% of them still want a noontime lecture. Almost 50% still want to follow other doctors around. But you do see close to 30% saying, I'd like to try some online. I'd like to try something different to learn this. Some of the comments on the method I think were very interesting. Many of them mentioned noon conference, which is why I put it there. Many of them want written materials, case-based things. Some of them want the preceptors to actually have a model, an expectation that they will teach this, because some preceptors do a lot and some don't. But the online stuff really startled me. You had a few people saying, yes, online is easy. I'd like to learn that way because I can get it any time. It'll help if I miss a lecture. This bottom quote was representative of a lot of residents. I am morally opposed to online click-through education tools because I don't pay attention to them. We had a large number of residents, and I thought, here's this young generation. They're going to want everything online. Absolutely not. They want online because it can be up to date and support things, and they want creative online teaching, but they want something more. They want something interactive. They want to hear from physicians who've had these issues. Now I want to talk a little bit about what we learned from practicing physicians about what they consider is important to teach residents. Now that they've been out there, we had close to 30 practicing physicians. We did 3 focus groups. They were from around the country, and we let them talk about guided questions that included this. So many of them spoke to what a huge issue this is and how important they think it is for residents to learn it. The other interesting thing to me is that they said it's important for subspecialists as well as for primary care, because as many of you know, for children with special health care needs, they may get their vaccines from the subspecialist as the medical home. And for others, they need the subspecialist to give the go-ahead for the primary care doctor saying, yes, this is fine for this child with these conditions. So they were very clear that any pediatrician in any type of practice should have this training. Then some themes came out of the focus groups. We didn't do a survey with the practicing pediatricians. We wanted their in-depth ideas about what residents should learn. And the themes will seem familiar to all of you who do this, but I think for residents, it will be important for them to think about this. It's not just about spouting science. You need to listen first. And for doctors, we know that that's something that the best doctors do all the time, but that they especially need to do with vaccines. They also talked a lot about helping residents understand that there are different tiers of resistance. And again, you all have seen research on this and understand it. But an interesting thing to me was that these practicing pediatricians, all of them said that it's no longer a small percentage of their families who question vaccines. For many of them, almost every parent feels like it's due diligence, that it's necessary if you're a good parent to ask them vaccine questions. So they don't want residents when they get out there to overreact and think, oh my God, they're questioning me. It means I really can't I'm going to have a lot of problems with this family and getting their vaccines. Some families just need to ask those questions, but then we'll accept the vaccines very readily. The second tier are those who've been listening to the media, have some myths, have some concerns, but probably will, with some time spent by the physician, go ahead and set that aside. And then finally, the third tier are those who obviously have real deep fears, have a sibling who has an autistic child, has a lifestyle that leads them to believe that vaccines are dangerous. So they thought in training it would be really helpful to get these different tiers out there so that residents can assess the situation and then how to intervene. The other important theme, I think, that came from the practicing pediatricians is how hard it is for them when they feel like they've learned the science, they're only there for what's best for the child, and then they have someone come in who's just heard, you know, one TV show and question their judgment as a physician, and they can get quite angry or frustrated or disappointed and feel that the parent isn't looking at the best interests of their own child, when obviously the parent is. The parent is working from whatever information that they have. And they said vaccines are almost unique in this way, because you will have parents come in, and if their child has a condition, has cancer, they may have done all this research with reading books and, you know, going on the internet, and they come in with lots of information, and then they challenge the doctor. But with vaccines, there's a lot of casual challenging, and that's very hard for doctors to understand how to deal with someone who's questioning you when they have no real information at all. And so that's something they felt in training residents should learn. Preempting resistance, they wanted to recommend that you begin at the first visit, long before you're giving that vaccine, so that when they're loving that newborn they're holding and they're loving you because you're going to help them with that newborn, that right at that first get-go you say, no, it's going to be so important for them to get their vaccines, rather than challenging later. Finally, using stories rather than theories. You'll notice that the residents all really wanted data and science. The doctors who've been out there for years are saying it's not the data and science, it's that one story about that one child that you saw. So conclusions we had, these are just some of the things, but that I found most important or surprising. Again, we're having significant percentages of residents saying that they're not or somewhat learning about this communication, so there is room for more. Secondly, a lot of them are serving compliant populations, so they're not sure this will be a big issue in practice, but they still want to learn it because they have family and friends who want to know about it. Thirdly, online is not the top choice for them. And fourth, that we need to understand when we talk about vaccine safety concerns to residents, they're going to want to hear most about H1N1 right now, and so the other concerns are lesser. Conclusion, practicing pediatricians. It was really a surprise to me, although in this conference I've learned a lot about it, that nearly all have learned to negotiate vaccines and use alternate schedules. It's not at all unusual in most practices for pediatricians and family physicians to work with that, and they think residents need to learn what that means and how to stay as close to the recommended schedule as you can, but to understand with some families, some give and take may be necessary. The comment I made earlier about the due diligence from some parents and about dealing with their own anger and rejection. A lot of people to thank. Mark Sawyer, who you may have heard at this conference, is the principal investigator. These are all other people who did at least as much or more than I did. And then my son, Nathan. So that's it.